It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday the 21st. I'm Ben Johnson. FBI Director James Comey and NSA Director Admiral Michael Rogers sat in front of the House Select Intelligence Committee this week for a hearing on Russia's interference in last year's presidential election. You may remember that last summer, news broke that the Democratic National Committee had been hacked, then WikiLeaks leaked, and it's been quite a roller coaster since then. We wanted to drill down into a few techie moments from the hearing with Patrick Tucker, technology editor for the security-focused publication Defense One. Patrick, did we learn anything about technology's role in the larger story of Russian election hacking?
Well, I think that the main point of this sort of hearing, if the main value of it, was that it introduced the much broader public to the methods by which Russia has begun to attempt to influence global events and influence the election. So it's useful to have James Comey again go out, state unequivocally that emails of the DNC and John Podesta were originally stolen by Russia.
They engaged in a multifaceted campaign of active measures to undermine our democracy and hurt one of the candidates and hope to help one of the other candidates.
And you also learn about that this is part of a concerted sort of new method of kind of warfare, I guess you could say it, by Russia. It's not one that takes casualties or makes prisoners or has effects on the ground, but it's just the theft of information and the framing of it.
We heard a reference in the hearings about this hacker, Guccifer 2.0. Can you remind us of Guccifer 2.0's involvement in all of this?
So Guccifer 2.0 is a persona, the intelligence community believes, that was created by the Russian government, most likely the FSB, their intelligence unit, to cover the FSB's tracks in the entire hacking of the DNC. He claims to be a Romanian hacker in the style of the original Guccifer, and he'll actually communicate sometimes with reporters, with myself, and if, what's of relevance to this hearing, with Roger Stone, who is a Trump campaign confidant and longtime friend. But the intelligence community believes that he is a fake persona, kind of a false flag, if you will, that's being established to pretend to be the original hacker so that people don't focus on the involvement of the Russian government.
Patrick Tucker, he is technology editor for the security-focused publication Defense One. Patrick, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
There has been quite a mix of headlines about just how available Nintendo Switch gaming consoles have been since the company's launch earlier this month. Nintendo sold record units. They're hard to find. Sales are slowing down, but Nintendo's doubling production. To make sense of all of this, we got Ian Bogost, author and professor of interactive computing at Georgia Tech, on the line. Ian, how is the Switch doing for realsies?
Well, I haven't gotten one yet, and I think a lot of people also haven't. It's doing very well among people who were going to buy anything that Nintendo was ready to sell them.
Have you been trying unsuccessfully?
Yeah, I have been. I go to Target almost every day, you know, for lots of reasons, and they haven't had any of them in any of the stores that I've looked at locally. So I've tried and failed a few times.
How does that compare to other consoles and your experience with other consoles?
Video game systems are one of these electronics that is very frequently undersupplied, and you know there's often been shortages.
Why is that?
This is the big question, and there's no way of really knowing the answer. There is no doubt that manufacturers get a marketing benefit from the appearance of undersupply. Really, the appearance of increased demand is what they get a benefit from. When there's something that's highly desirable, more people are going to want it precisely because it appears more desirable. And then when you can't get it, it has that kind of, you know, benefit of when you do, you have a little bit of oomph that you can share with your friends. Ha ha, I got a Switch. Plus, they get free press for it. We're talking about the fact that Nintendo Switch is undersupplied, and that's a way of marketing.
Yeah, we've been suckered. But at the same time, like, this is interesting, right? Because I just saw a story the other day about how sales are also slowing down. And maybe they're slowing down because people can't find them. So it's a really tough line for a company to walk.
One of the things about electronics like this is that there's a group of people who buy them right away. They know we're going to buy them. And that is not necessarily indicative of their long-term success. It's a different kind of market than those who might pick one up a month, a quarter, a year from now, when the product is sort of more operative.
Does the story of the Switch tell us anything about the larger gaming business right now?
There's this constant promise with games that what's really going to make gaming, the experience of gaming, good is just on the horizon. It's about to happen. And then the products come out and it turns out that you get the same games that you've always had with some, you know, some small adjustments and changes, and they're good or they're bad. So this hype cycle, which is not necessarily just produced by the manufacturer, it's also produced by the players themselves, is kind of endemic to the experience of video games.
Ian Bogost, he is a professor of interactive computing at Georgia Tech, an author, and also a guy who has been visiting Target almost daily to try and get himself a Switch. Ian, good luck, man. Thanks for chatting.
Hey, thank you.
And while we are talking about video games, a classic meat space game is getting a new realm in the digital space. Dungeons & Dragons, the fantasy role-playing classic, is partnering with a digital company called Curse to build a web app. It's called D&D Beyond. It will allow for purchases of content, and it just entered open beta. If you want to sign up, head to facebook.com/marketplacetech, where we have posted more info. And yes, oh yes, you know, this moderately active D&D druid signed up. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.